Real Business Owners.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast. This is episode 60, brought to you guys by Easier Accounting and 60-Day Credit Repair. It's myself, Trevor Cowley, and Kel Goodman, as usual. Guys, today we're going to talk about a topic that I think will benefit a lot of you. I mean, throughout our life, everybody's going to have to deal with something of this magnitude, right? In terms of negotiations, right? Whether you're talking about buying a house or you're negotiating to buy a car, whether you're negotiating a business deal, there's always negotiations happening on a day-to-day basis, whether they're just micro negotiations or if they're large, life-changing negotiations that are happening, whether you're buying a business or, you know, an investment or whatever it is, right? So we wanted to, do a podcast on negotiations just for your guys' benefit so that you can kind of see how we think about negotiations and how we negotiate when we do business deals, whether it's with a marketing company, whether it's with us investing money into different businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, we've done a lot of things over the last, you know, decade or so. And obviously, we if we weren't good in this area, we probably wouldn't be where we're at, right?
Yeah, Trev's actually really good at this area. So he's like the shark that we send after people if we can't get the deal we want done. So
I wouldn't say I'm a shark. I would say once we know where we stand and what we're willing to do, that's, you know, again, it comes back to holding the line, right? Yeah. Like once we know what we want, that's what we want, and we're not going to really budge off it that much, right? Just depending on what the situation is, right? You can go into a negotiation acting like you're not going to budge, but it just depends on which side of the negotiation that you're on.
What I've seen, though, is you're very intuitive on where people are at. Like, you pick up on, I don't know if it's body language or just things that they're saying or if the fact that they're still sitting at the table when we lowball them or whatever, right? Yeah. You're like, okay, this guy.
I got him.
I got this guy. You know, I got this guy. He's still here. He really wants to do this deal. Honestly, so how far can I push it?
Yeah.
I'm not that good at that. I'm like, okay, what can we do here to make sure it's like everybody wins, which is important. You want to make sure everybody wins, but you do want to be kind of – you're competitive. So you're like, I want to come out on top of this negotiation.
Well, it's kind of – to me, it's a game.
Yeah.
It's a cat. It's almost like when you're gambling and people are they wear the sunglasses and stuff. They don't want to show any emotion.
Yeah.
It's very similar on a business deal.
Yeah, you're looking for the tells.
Correct. Right? Like if they start squirming or this or that – you could tell the smell of desperation is beautiful, you know, to somebody with money, right?
Yeah.
And so that shit reeks. I can smell that from a mile away. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it really comes down to, again, what side you're on. Because if we haven't had to negotiate a lot of deals in terms of asking anybody for money. We've never been on that side of the deal for the most part. You know, usually when we're negotiating, it's business either B2B, where we're negotiating our business with another business. Again, they're going to come in and do marketing. How much are we going to pay them per lead or whatever it is? Or somebody comes to us saying, hey, I need $100,000 for X, and this is what I'm willing to give you. And then, you know, from there, you kind of can understand, well, that's what they say that they're willing to give you, but this is what we're going to get, right? Because they're coming to you for money. So when they're in the ask position and you're the one that has all the power because you have the money, obviously you want to leverage that as much as you possibly can. Now you've got the flip side of things to where you're the one asking somebody else for money or whatever the case may be. You're kind of removed of some of your powers a little bit. At that point, you've got to be more of a salesperson selling them on why it's a good deal for them to do this with you.
Right.
And so, again, my side of things, I know it from one side. I haven't had to negotiate and beg other people for something that I want, right? And so so I think that makes it a little bit easier for me to win, you know, some of these negotiations that we've won in terms of. And again, maybe I shouldn't say win, because then it puts it in a competition type manner, like I'm winning,
right?
Like it is a competition. But at the end of the day, you've got to know what you want and you've got to know what you're willing to sacrifice for what you want, right? When somebody, for instance, came to us looking for $100,000, what was that, 2 years ago? Mm-hmm. Something like that. Maybe it's coming upon 2 years. I think it's about a little over a year and a half. and it was these guys these programmers,
tech stuff, right?
And you know, they've already been successful at selling one of their softwares to a large corporation. You know, I won't say who it is, but they obviously know what they're doing.
Yeah,
they're smart guys, right? But what these programmers do and these tech people do is they go out and they get investors' money, and then they use their talent and their time to develop it. So it's really not costing them really hardly anything. But most of these software companies are all about the exit strategy, right? They have the 3 to 5 year play where we're going to build it, we're going to test it, we're going to implement it and take it to market, and then we're going to prove that it works, and then we're going to go dangle that carrot to some company that's worth hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, and then have them gobble us up for 20 million, 50 million, or whatever that number is.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's the exact scenario that I'm talking about, where they were, I think, raising $800,000 or something like that, or $1 million, and they were $100,000 short of that. And I knew that they needed the money quickly.
Yeah.
And there was a clause inside of that agreement that if they brought on a second round of investors, that our shares would get diluted. And so we would own less of the company.
Right.
But on a second round of funding, how that works is the company ends up being actually more valuable, because the second round of funding, they sell those shares at a much greater price. So even if your shares dwindle a little bit, each share is now more valuable.
Right.
And what I mean by that is if you had 100 shares that are each worth $1 a piece, that's worth $100. Would you rather have 10 shares that are worth $100 per share? Because that's worth $1,000. So that's really usually how they pitch these investments is, yes, if we do a second round of funding or a third round of funding, yes, your shares do get diluted, mm-hmm. but your shares also increase in value because of what they paid for their shares.
Right.
So now it's still worth more, even though that you have less, right? So that's the normal pitch in terms of somebody trying to raise money in the tech industry or programming, whatever, right?
The rounds of funding, the A, B, and C.
First round, second round. Yeah. First round's usually family and friends. You know, second round, then they take it to investors, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. That kind of goes, obviously, you know, I'm telling a story, kind of bringing you guys with us here a little bit on this negotiation that we did a couple years ago that worked in our favor. So I knew that they were in a time crunch.
Yeah.
Because they were trying to get a deal done by X date.
And they said they needed to have their money by that date.
They had to have the money by the date.
Yeah.
And so, again, one part of negotiating is shutting up and listening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they will ultimately tell you their pain points at one point or another throughout the conversation. Again, this is if you are getting pitched because you have the money and somebody's coming to you. They'll vomit it out at one point or another if you're just letting them speak, okay? They'll say, well, this is the deadline or this is it. And you can kind of tell and you can sense their urgency or desperation, right? And so this doesn't ever happen, but what I said is, well, if you want the $100,000, then I want in the agreement that our shares could never be diluted.
Right.
And he goes, well, that's not the way it works. And I said, that's the way it's going to work if you want our money.
Right.
It's our money, right? So don't, if it's our money, don't we get to call the shots on what it would take for somebody to get our money, right? And so that wasn't something that they were really happy with. And they're like, oh, well, I'll talk to my partner about it and I'll get back with you. And I go to
But they were down to like their last 3-4 days. They had $100,000 still to raise to be able to finalize this deal.
Yep.
I remember that.
Yeah. And so I knew they were in a pinch and I knew I had them backed into a corner and I knew that that was the time that we could get what we wanted to get out of the deal. And so the guy calls me back the next day and says, I talked to him. He wasn't too happy about it. You know, this somber type mood.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, they might say no, which I was 100% okay with.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we were desperate to throw $100,000 at them and wait 5 years to exit this deal, right?
Yeah.
And so it's not – usually when we get presented something, it's not like because we were advertising that we have money that we want to give.
Sure.
It's usually friends, family, somebody catches wind that we have money and, hey, go talk to these guys or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But he said, yeah, after talking to him, he wasn't too happy about it, but we'll do it. You know, and I'm like, that's all I wanted to hear. The deal's done. Let's send over the paperwork. We'll wire the $100,000. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
You know, so again, that individual spoke his pain point. He spoke that he was in a bad situation and he only had a few days left. I knew if he did not accept this deal, it would have been very difficult to raise $100,000 within that week,
yeah,
or whatever it is, right? Because obviously they've tapped out quite a bit if they're starting to reach out to us. They've already reached out to their close family and friends, and this is a deal that, you know, we did, and we hope it works out. We don't know if it will or won't. Every deal that you do in terms of something that you negotiate on the business side of things, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But if you're the individual on the money side, you have a lot more say than the individual on the ask side,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Well, I think that's an important thing to highlight too, man, is how, because, you know, in business, transparency is so valuable in so many areas, but as we were saying, it's really not a whole lot in business.
Not like, in negotiation.
Had that guy played his cards a little bit differently, right, and made this investment – look very beneficial to us, but he wasn't so transparent about his time crunch.
Yep.
He wasn't so transparent about how they needed this money and they needed it very quickly and they were backed into a corner because he said a lot of those things to us.
Yep.
You know, and so he was very transparent in that, which I appreciate the honesty, but when we're talking about a business deal here, that a money exchange.
Negotiations, you never show
you
your cards
show.
Right up front.
Exactly.
You just don't do it.
Exactly.
And he made that detrimental mistake. And he did that. Mm-hmm. Now, if I was him and I was presenting that to us, I would have presented it like, look, guys, you know, I definitely respect what you're trying to accomplish. You don't want your shares diluted. I would reiterate that the value of those shares will go up on a second round. So if anything, you should want us to get a second round of funding to increase the value of the overall company so that we can end up exiting this thing at the price point that we want. If we don't raise a certain amount of money on the next round, then our evaluation on year five when we're trying to exit isn't going to be where we want it to be.
Right.
So if anything, this actually helps you, Trevor and Kel, long term by the way that this is set up. And secondly, I do have two or three other phone calls that I have to make right after this of a couple other people that want to hear the presentation.
Yeah.
Literally, you're an individual that I've already done the presentation to. It's the least path of resistance.
I'd love for you guys to be in this deal.
Correct.
I know where we're taking this company. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's
you
guys are the least path of resistance because I've already presented it to you. You guys already have the facts and figures. You guys have already reviewed the agreement. If it's something that you don't want to do, totally understand. But we're going to take this thing fucking big time.
Yeah.
And I would hate to see you guys miss that boat.
Yeah.
Again, he needs to present it properly.
Yeah.
But he showed his cards too early. Mm-hmm. Another example, we were doing deals with a marketing company and they would charge us per sell.
Right.
Right. And so obviously what you do is there's several different marketing companies in the industry. And so they would say, what are you guys paying per sell right now?
Yeah, exactly.
On that product.
Exactly.
And we have a business partner that's very he's very transparent. He says I'm too hard in negotiating. He's like, I actually think that you're hard on people, you know, whatever. And I'm like, I'm hard on people because I want to win and I want us to get what we should get out of the deal or
we
maximize.
Need to profit.
Exactly.
We need to profit. And you're going into a deal, you don't know your profit margins yet.
You don't.
You don't know your profit margins 100%. You know, you can make all the projections that you want, and you can know your numbers really well and know your costs and know your things so you can kind of understand, like, okay, profit margin should be this, but you don't know what all the surprises are going to be and all this and that. And
there will be surprises.
It's important to negotiate, and it is important to try negotiate in your favor because we are all in business to profit. People should never feel bad about profiting. But we do give old Jer Bug a big – we gave him a lot of shit there for a couple of years on some of his negotiations
because
he was so transparent.
Too transparent.
Yes.
So if we're paying – so at one point we were paying like, I don't know, whatever, $38 on a conversion. And so the new marketing company says, well, what do you pay per conversion? I watched it go down on the chat.
Yeah.
And so what I did is I immediately text Jeremy before he could get on that chat and blurt out that we pay
$38. Yeah.
I heard you text it. Tell them it's 36.
Yeah.
Like, so again, you guys might think as though that this is like bad business or whatever. This is negotiating 101.
Well, everybody's looking to get higher. You're looking to get lower. So like everybody knows this already.
It's already the game that everybody knows how to play, we think, unless we have somebody that we're close to that is so transparent. And again, he has a good heart and he wants everybody to feel like that they're winning in the situation. Did that guy not win when we wired him $100,000 to help save what he was trying to accomplish?
Absolutely.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
But we also got a good deal as well. I guarantee you he's not thinking about it today.
He's not.
He's not thinking about it today, but I am.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, that's yeah. something that I was proud to accomplish for us as a group, as investors investing into a new company.
Yeah.
Because if it does what he believes it can do, who knows? Those shares might be, we might make twice the amount of money versus our shares being diluted. Right,
I see his updates and his emails. It looks like everything's profitable.
Yes.
You know, it's headed in the same right on the direction that they pitched. You know? So that's good. It looks.
Yeah.
I think it will end up being a really cool investment.
Yeah.
But even on the small stuff, I was telling you before we got in here about my son just recently his car breaking down. Like, you know, he's another kid. He's super honest. It's awesome. I'm proud of him. I love that about people. I love honesty. I love transparency. But it is different in negotiations. And so when he called me up and said, dude, my car broke down and they want $1,500. He's like, I called up Val, which is his stepdad. I called him up and he said his, you know, mechanic could get the part and do it for around $700. I said, okay, cool. And, you know, that's a lot of money to a kid right now. He's out knocking doors. He's just getting in the game.
18?
He's just an adult. He's 19 now.
19,
he just turned 19.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, listen, if you're trying to save a little bit of money, call up my mechanic and just tell him. Don't tell him $700. Kid.
No.
I know you're going to tell him $700, aren't you? And he's like, well, I could, you know. And I was like, no, dude, just call him up and tell him, hey, I got another mechanic says you can do it for $600, but my dad said I should call you because you've always taken really good care of him. So he did it, saved like another $80 on top of it, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, dude, that's just how it is when you're in like a negotiation, whatever. You're looking to save money. You're in a position where you need to save as much money as you can, and everybody starts high. I guarantee you that mechanic is going to tell you the part's $300, he can really get it for $200, right? It's just how it goes.
Yeah.
And so it's like that in business, man. Like you can't be so transparent in the negotiation.
You can't.
You know?
And again, it feels weird stating that because we tell you guys, I mean, even last episode, we talked about imposter syndrome and being open and honest and being transparent.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys need to understand where that fits in. 99% of the time, that's a good thing to do in life.
Right.
But when you're talking about negotiating a deal, it's not that good to be completely exposed.
Yeah.
That's just the truth.
Yeah.
Keep some clothes on here a little bit.
And
play your cards.
It's not even being dishonest. It's like you say, exposed, man.
Don't expose yourself to overspending.
Right.
That's really what it comes down to. Everybody's wants the best deal, right? Everybody wants the best deal. So who's going to get the best deal? The guy that calls in and just is going to go with the flow and whatever number they say go in, or the guy that gets quoted at $1,500. I mean, I've done this on websites and shit before. Somebody quotes $2,500 on a website or something like that. It was just a basic website. And I'm like, can you do it for $1,500? No, I can't. And I said, it's all good. The last person that built our site, they built it for $1,000. I'll just reach out to them. And I got off this message with a guy's name's Akshay. He's a guy that we outsource some websites to. And I looked over to Jeremy and I said, he'll touch base with us soon. Watch.
Right.
And then 10 minutes later, I'll do it for $1,500 in the message. And I'm like, and I look at him, I'm like, I fucking told you, bro. Like, and again, it never hurts to ask for what you want.
Yeah.
If you ask for what you want, it works the best when you're actually willing to walk away from the deal.
Sure.
That's when it works the best.
Sure.
Because you're not playing any games in terms of like, oh, if you don't do this, I'm going to do this, but then you do it anyways. Then that, you know, again, when I said, this is what we want for the $100,000, we were okay not investing the $100,000 otherwise, right? So that's what it would take. We had to have a large enough upside to make it worth it because there is a risk. We're investing into a startup that's software that we don't know if we're going to be able to exit. And so all these things have to come into play.
Right.
You know, are you investing into something that has a lot of question marks around it? If that's the case and you just don't know, then you should be negotiating hard in your favor.
Totally.
Because if it has minor success and you negotiated right, maybe you can still have good success with the deal.
Yeah.
But if it has minor success and you didn't negotiate, you're going to have minor success as well.
Right.
Right. And so it just never hurts to ask. And I don't think enough people play their cards right. You know, of course, when you're selling a car, it's valued at $25,000. You listed at $28,000 and you got somebody hit you up at $24,000 and they lowball you because you highballed them. And then you're still going to end up getting more than what you wanted for the car. There is a song and dance that has to be, you know, done in order to get a deal done. You just need to decide whether or not you're willing to do the song and dance and willing to hold strong to what it is that you say that you want out of the deal. And again, if I say that I wanted and I was good with 26 grand for the vehicle and I listed it at 28, again, I'm not going to list it for what I want it for.
Right.
I'm going to highball it because I already know somebody else is going to lowball.
Right.
You know, that's just
it's
the way negotiation
it's
works.
To ask or offer lower than where you're really looking to settle. Right. So just like Akshay with the website, if you're like, oh, dude, our budget's 1500, like you're going to hit him at 1200, you know, and then he's going to hit you back like, I'll do it for 1500, even though he wanted 1800 or whatever it ends up being.
Yeah.
Right. It's meeting in the middle. And that's what negotiating is, man. You're meeting in the middle a lot of the times. And so, you know, it's not rocket science.
One, you got to focus on their pressures. What are their pressure points? What are they trying to accomplish? How do they benefit out of the deal? Right. So that's one thing on either side, whether you're the one asking for something, how do they benefit from the deal?
Yeah.
What are their pressures in life?
Right.
What are the, you know, if I'm going to Kel and asking Kel for 50 grand right now, you know, and I'm just getting to know Kel, small talk, and I found out that he's building a beautiful house for his family and he's spending all this money. And so he's maybe not wanting to part with that 50 grand. And I know that that house is pressure or whatever. Right. Let's say. Maybe I use that to my advantage.
Right.
Like, hey, man, I know you're building a house and this might be a terrible time, but, you know, the only reason why I thought of you, because one, I know that you have the money. And secondly, I know how valuable this could be to you because you just got a new house. My guess is you're obviously looking for ways to make additional income to maybe reduce some of the pressures that you have with some of this these new bills or building that house.
Yeah.
Again, that can happen on either side. You know, I'm going to analyze what Kel's pressures are. That individual's pressure was a deadline that he had to have money by. So I already knew that when we were negotiating that 100 grand deal, right? And so it just depends. Even if we're on the, again, if I'm not asking Kel for 50 grand and Kel's asking me for 50 grand, I want to know what Kel's pressure is on why he needs that 50 grand so bad so that I can figure out how to work the deal to where I get what I want, but then I map it out for him. Again, it's just like a sales call pretty much. You're selling them on why it's still valuable to accept your offer the way that you have it presented versus the way that they have it presented.
Yep.
That's just the way that you negotiate it. It's pretty much two salespeople going back and forth at each other, and whoever's the least best at sales is usually the one that loses the negotiation, right?
It is definitely a whole other style of sales, man, is negotiating. It is. It's a sales tactic for sure.
You know, I mean, there's so many different things to negotiate, and you need to understand and decide, like, for instance, the lot that I just bought, right? Mm-hmm. I wanted to negotiate on that deal because it was $475,000. For just a lot, a piece of dirt. But I didn't have a whole lot of power in that because I already had put an offer in on one of the other lots within 3 hours of them coming out and being listed, and the one that I wanted was already taken.
Right.
And so I already knew I was behind the eight ball. I had no negotiating power because I was the one that wanted, and she, the developer that owns a bunch of land here in Utah, she knows all the developers, she knows all of the builders. She doesn't have to sell it to a normal individual like myself.
Right.
Normally,
she's gonna move.
She excavates the land or whatever, and then she calls her builder friends and developers and say, "Hey, do you want this land or do you want these lots so that you can build your spec houses on or you're develop an entire community on or whatever the deal is." So in that case, I had to pay full price. Believe me, I wanted to negotiate.
Yeah.
I was already talking to the agent, and I'm like, hey, why don't we offer this? And all this stuff. And she's like, I don't think that that's a good idea, but we've already, you know, missed out on one. You know, there was only 11 lots available, and I'm watching them slowly get eaten up. So in that case, I was willing to pay full price, and I'm still fine with it.
Yeah.
And so you really have to go into deals understanding, you know, the deal as
logic,
a whole, the logic of the deal as a whole, who's on the other side? What are their powers? What can they accomplish without me?
Yeah.
And if they can still accomplish what they need to accomplish without me, then I have no power at that point.
Right.
If they're just selling, then negotiating power gets taken.
It's gone,
and right. And again, if it's sitting, that's when the negotiating power can happen. Yeah. Those lots have been sitting there for a year. Okay, cool. So I can lowball, right? And so you need to understand where you have the power and where you don't have power. And you need to understand when you're willing to pay full price for something and when you're not.
Yeah.
And be willing to walk away if you don't get what you want. And then also, depending on the scenario, be willing to budge just a little bit, right? You know, maybe if homeboy would have came back and said, "Hey, we'll lock in half your shares that can't be diluted. The other half can be diluted. So we are giving you some certainty here, but over here we can't give you that certainty." That would have been a good us giving a little bit and him giving a little bit, showing good faith. I would have probably took that deal.
Probably. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But because they needed it that bad.
They needed it that bad, and it never hurts to ask. So we asked for what we wanted, and we got what we wanted out of the deal.
Right.
You know? So I'm trying to think of different scenarios where people negotiate.
I think the scenario – I mean, look, man, if you're just starting a business, you're going to be out there negotiating all the time to try and just get ahead. But that is the nice thing about when you're a little bit further in the game is you get to start putting yourself in those positions where – you don't like that gal you bought the land from, dude. She knows one,
that
she
can sell it
to someone
gone.
Else. Yeah. She has the contacts and resources. Mm-hmm. Two, even if she does have to sit on it, she don't care because she's already loaded. Right. And yeah, I know who they are just from hearing their name around town.
Yeah.
They're loaded, dude. And so, you know, you want to obviously put yourself in that position, man. You get better at negotiating as you get more established.
Yeah.
Because you just don't really give a shit, dude. You know, like you don't have to have their business. And so that's the position you want to put yourself in, right? But until you get there, you're going to have to get creative with negotiating. You're going to have to look for these pain points. You're going to have to strategize on and learn about somebody or what their real needs are before you go to that negotiation.
Yeah, and again,
that's probably, like you said, the most important part is listening, paying attention, you know, do a little research, know your numbers,
yes.
Go into negotiations prepared, because if you're just starting out in business, there are things you're going to have to negotiate, and in order to get into that position that you want to be at one day, you are going to have to be creative.
Well, let's be real. The person with the most negotiating power is the one that's probably been in business the longest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She is so established and so well known that, again, And I knew that about her, right, in terms of her developing all this land that she has out there. And so, again, there was no pain points. I had nothing going for me into that negotiation. So the only thing I can do, if I want it that bad, I pay for what she asked for it.
Right.
And that's really what it comes down to, is when you're first in business or you're new in business, you probably won't have a lot of negotiating power because you're going to smell of desperation.
Yeah.
And you're going to go to, you know, let's say I'm starting a brand new marketing company and I'm hitting up entrepreneurs saying, "Hey, we want to do your marketing. We want to, you know," again, you don't have a lot of negotiating power. They do, because they're already established. They were established before you. They're going to be established after you. They're not really concerned about going out of business if they don't hire you, because they didn't know you anyways, and they've already had some success.
Exactly.
So they already know that they don't need you to be successful. And so when it comes to that, again, when you're new in business, the negotiating power is very, very minimal.
Right.
And what I would say to somebody that's new in business is you need to understand the other individual's pressures and pain points and then talk about how you could serve them and how you could relieve them of certain pressures or certain pain that they have to deal with, you know, on a day-to-day basis as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Let them know that you understand everything that they deal with. That's one thing that I think has worked well for us with Easier Accounting, is when people reach out to us, "Hey, man, I know what you're going through. My guess is your accountant doesn't communicate. You're not getting on-time P&Ls. You're this, you know." Because I am the end customer, I already know what all their pain points are, and I state their pain points prior to them even stating it. So now we have some commonalities right there, and we can connect. And so, again, Kel talked about doing your research, understanding who you're speaking with, whether it's doing a little bit of Google searching or going to Facebook or Instagram and gathering data to where you can kind of see if you see them on vacation all the time and maybe they're handling their own marketing or have somebody else doing their marketing. "Hey, you know, my goal for this is to automate everything for you as much as we possibly can so that you can spend time with your loved ones and the people that you care about." Without that person knowing that I've already went through their whole Facebook or Instagram, seeing that they love their family and going on vacations or whatever, I'm hitting some things that obviously have meaning to that individual.
Right.
Right. And so So I'm trying to bring it full circle.
That actually brings up a pretty good memory of old Nick and Corey, you know, because I blew Nick off at the gym a lot, dude. He wanted to do marketing over and over and over again. I was like, man, nah, we've been ripped off so many times by marketing companies.
Yeah.
And that is, that's a cutthroat industry. And I told him several times, you know, like, dude, SEO don't work for us, man. We've tried this, we tried that. But I did show my cards a little bit. I wish that it would have worked, man. We're trying to rebuild. We're trying to build this company, Easier Accounting. And it's been tough to tap into that SEO side of things. It's been tough to rank higher than all the other nationwide firms or even the local firms.
Yeah.
So he knew that, right? So what did he do? And this is just a little tip. He brought an expert with him because he got the deal shut down. How many times? I mean, he'd been in our office a couple different times, tried a couple little things with him just to give him a shot, and it just wasn't working out. So then he brings an expert with him, and then, dude, Corey just kind of shot off all the things that were lacking. He showed us. He was prepared. He showed us how he could get us ranked up, you know, and then next thing I know, we're doing a $4,000 a month deal for 6 months, right? And so, you know, that's another little tip. If you know, bring an expert with you. They can actually. But Nick was clever in the fact that he's like, okay, they do want to make their online marketing work.
Yeah.
And I know it's not working in these areas.
He had to call in
to show them how it can work.
Yeah. Call in the big dog.
So he called in. He called in the expert.
Exactly. So. Because his expertise was in on the sales side.
Yeah.
Right. Selling you. Understand. Yeah.
He's a salesman.
He's a salesman. Yeah. Right. So he's not fulfillment.
He knew he
brought in the fulfillment
that could actually show us, like, dude, you guys are lacking here, here, and here. Here's what your past SEO companies were doing. Here's what your past marketing companies were doing. And so he was able to really kind of like give us some good logic on why our marketing's never going to work unless we use them. Mm-hmm. You know, so we got it. You know, that was a good little negotiating tip that Nick did there, like, or strategy that Nick did there is he, you know, brought the big dog, as you said.
Guys, what you need to realize about negotiations is we already know the hot start high, you start low, you know, that whole game. But again, make sure that you're willing to hold firm to what it is that you state that you want. And again, if they're getting close, it's okay to give a little bit and make sure that both parties feel good about the deal. Like I'm 100% okay with that. But one thing I'm not okay with is paying 100% of the first price that's been given to me.
Right.
Or the first offer or whatever it is, whether it's a percentage of the business, whether it's the marketing deal.
Right.
Again, if somebody says, if we're paying $38 to get a conversion, I'm going to tell somebody that we pay $36 per conversion so that they come in saying, we'll get it to 35.
Yeah.
If I would have said 38.
Because we all know that margin's there.
The margin's there.
Yeah.
We already knew that. And some people just don't ever go at it that angle. And again, if somebody's asking you how much you spend on something, always make it less.
Right.
If they're trying to earn your business, always make it less. Just as what Kel stated, his son, somebody quoted him to fix the car at $1,500. Somebody quoted it at $700. He called the dude and said, hey, I was quoted at $600. The guy ended up doing it for like $550.
Yeah.
So he saved him like an extra $50.
We all know that mechanics mark the parts up.
Yeah, I mean, if he said I was quoted a $700, he would have done it for $650 and showed him in good faith that he's trying to help him save a little bit of money, but then he would have overspent by $100.
Right.
And again, it's okay if he would have said, look, man, I can't do it for any less than that. Then cool. At least he gave it a shot. You know, he's the one obviously in a situation where he doesn't have much say in the price, right?
Yeah.
He's going to try to negotiate and give the business to somebody who's going to give him the best price. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But you should always try. You know, if somebody says, I want X for fixing this transmission and it's $5,000, you should say, look, man, all I have is $3,500. That's all I have. I wish I could do it, but I can't swing it right now.
Right.
And then they might say, look, for you, I'll do it for like $4,000. And you might have had hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you could save a little bit of money here, a little bit of money there, just through negotiating on just random daily shit, which is completely possible. I'm not saying go to negotiate for a Snickers bar at the gas station, you know, but again, obviously something where there's competitors that are competing for your business in a local market, it definitely makes it a lot easier because if there's 30 mechanics, you know, the one that's busy might not budge off of their price and they have the right to do that because, again, they are where they are. Right. Their time is more valuable than the other individuals that is sitting at the shop half the day not working on anything because they don't have any jobs to do.
Right.
But if I have a line of cars out the back, I'm going to quote you at $1,500 even if it's an $800 job because I'm having to squeeze it in. That's more pressure, more stress on me
right.
as the mechanic because now I have another car that I've got to get done and I already have a line of cars. So again, as their time dwindles, it becomes more valuable. So you can call around to three or four different spots and let them know what you were quoted. And again, as we stated, it's always less than what you were really quoted in order to be able to save money. It's
right.
the same thing on a house deal. If there's five offers in on a house, you're not going to be able to lowball somebody. You might actually have to overpay on the offer by 10 grand in order to get your offer accepted.
Yeah.
And you need to determine whether or not that's a house that you're willing to do that for, or if it's something that you just kind of would like, then throw out the lowball offer.
Right.
But if it's something that you really, really, really want, it doesn't hurt to maybe ask or talk to somebody if it's an agent and the agent says, no, you're not going to want to lowball this one. This one's going to move quick. Then, okay, cool. But at
right.
least have those type of conversations with the professionals that you're working with. And if you're not working with a professional, then at least try to ask at a lower price first prior to paying full price.
Right. For sure.
So anything else? I think we pretty much covered it.
Yeah.
I think we pretty much covered it.
We beat
up negotiation as much as we possibly could. So today's review comes from KingDriver396. Realist duo out. These guys keep everything so real. I ride in my truck with my apprentice. Just started my business a year ago. Decided to start expanding. It's so good to get information from people that are really hustling because it gives information that I'm looking for and also changes the mindset of my apprentice. Best podcast ever.
Oh, dude, appreciate that. What was that name?
It was KingDriver396.
Right on. Thanks, King Driver. Appreciate the review, brother.
Yeah, no, it means a lot. And I would agree with everything that you stated. I can't disagree with that. So, guys, make sure if you are following us on Instagram to make sure that you are liking the post, that you're commenting on the post, and you're engaging with us. Obviously, that's how we're able to continue to try to grow this thing is through engagement. There's algorithms and like things like that that are involved. So show us some love. We don't really ask for much. You know, we try to give you guys good information that's valuable to you. The value that you guys can give back to us is just by engaging with us on these social media platforms, as well as dropping a comment on YouTube or subscribing to YouTube or rating and reviewing our podcast as well. All of that stuff helps. So we appreciate your guys' support and hope you guys have a kick-ass day.